And in introducing the new section that we were going to, I didn't name the book. I just read the first verse in the book, and I left it at that. And that first verse says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went out to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and their two sons." Well, that's the first verse in the book of Ruth. And so the book of Ruth is what we're looking at now. The book of Ruth is quite different from what we have been seeing in the book of Judges, but this incident or this occurrence, what we read here, it tells us occurred during the time of the judges. And that's why I said both when we said, "Where are we?" So this is something that occurred. It's like a bright light that shone in the midst of a lot of darkness is what develops out of here. In the early part of it, we see some decisions that were made, and they would see consequences of the decision and all that. And then in the long range, we see Ruth, as a Moabitess, a foreigner, becoming the grandmother of David, who had a central place in Israel, and then ultimately being in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Ruth has significance in a great way in that sense. One of the things I thought about, we don't know exactly who the author was as far as the writing here. And for our purposes, it's not necessary for us to take a position as to who was the author, other than to say that this is the revelation of God that has been revealed, and it is his word that is recorded here for us. I was looking at one of the notes here in MacArthur's Bible. He is trying to give a statement to kind of say how significant the book of Ruth is. And I looked at that and thought about that. He has some terms here that I don't grasp completely, but I will read the last little statement that it says here, just to kind of give us a kind of a sense for what we're looking at. He talks about this book having been labeled as a piece of anonymous but unexcelled literature, the loveliest complete work on a small scale. Now, that's, to me, quite an interesting statement there. And then he goes on to say a couple other things that I'm not going to refer to here. So in looking at the book, basically what I wanted to do this time is to make mention of the characters that we see and read through the book and have some few comments, but not a lot of comments this time. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we will read the whole book. It's only for, it won't take very long to read it. And I may comment a little bit along as we go. But as to the characters, I found it interesting to think about each character and the role they play and the significance of that. And then there are things that we can glean from certain of these ones in terms of thinking about application and that kind of thing. Of course, in the first verse, you meet with, it says here, a certain man. Now, the name of the certain man is listed in verse number 2, and his name is Elimelech. And a decision by Elimelech sets the stage for what's going to happen here. And then it says here that this man had a wife, and her name was Naomi. A good name there. Those two had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And so we have a family here then, husband, wife, and two sons. And then we are introduced to other characters later.
The verse right near where we are,
that these two men married, so they each took a wife, and their names are given. One is Orpah, and the other one is Ruth. Of course, Ruth is the central focus of our study here. So we have those ones, and then we're introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, who has a significant role, a wealthy farmer, Hebrew farmer. And his role is, as we will see, a very critical role as well as to what develops here. We saw a mention of reapers, and I take it that these reapers were young women from the way I read the text here, young women reaping, and then there were men who were in charge of the reaping activities, and I think we could think about those as the text used the word young men in verse number 9 of chapter 2. And then there's a man who is referred to as close relative. Now, those are not his first and last name. That's merely the way he's identified as close relative. In the first reference to him said he's a closer relative than Boaz, and they were talking about in reference to Elimelech. And so we have those ones. And then there are the elders of the city. There's specific reference to 10 elders who had a role to play in what developed here. And if I haven't missed any significant group, there's just one other one that I took note of. And it says, all the people. So at the gate, there were the 10 elders who had somewhat of a judicial responsibilities, if you will. And then there were all the people, the other people who witnessed what happened and what went on. And so there we have this account of what happened in Ruth. So let me begin to read. And as I said, I'll read through the whole thing. So I will limit my comments as I go and watch the clock so we'll get through to the end of the reading today, and then we'll come back and have more to say about the sections as we go. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So talking about setting of the stage of what develops, the first, I think, significant thing we see here is that reference. Well, no, it tells us what time period this happened. But then it refers to a famine. And it says it was in the time of Judges. Now, we don't know exactly when the famine occurred. And the book of Judges, as far as I can understand, does not refer to the famine that occurred. So there are different speculations as to exactly where this fits in that time frame. But for our purposes, that notion that there was a famine is a significant thing that we want to consider. Because as a consequence of the famine, a decision was made by this man Elimelech. And so we have to reflect upon that. That's one of the, I think, easiest ways of earliest places to get some idea of what we might consider by way of application of this to what we understand we should be doing and when. But anyway, there was a famine. And as a consequence of the famine, he decided that he was going to leave. He was going to take his family out of the land of Judah, out of the land of promise, out of the land where God promised that if you would do what I command you to do, you will be able to be well provided for in this land. I'll take care of you. You just do the things you're supposed to do. That's the land he left. He went to Moab. So he traveled to the east side of the Jordan there and set up his household on the other side. Then it says here in verse 2, the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now that event was not calculated in the plans. I think if Elimelech had known that his life would end when it did, that he wouldn't have gone. I think he would have stayed in the land because his wife would have had a better, and sons would have had a better opportunity to have help than to be stranded in some foreign place. But obviously he didn't know what was going to happen with his life, and perhaps because if he went and maybe if he hadn't gone, he would have lived on longer. We don't know those details, but we don't want to get there right now. But anyway, they took wives, these sons, after their father was dead, they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So here's a decade of living in this place called Moab. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. This is not what the plan was. They went out. There were four of them, and now there's one. All the men are dead, and this woman is left with these daughters-in-law. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, from the country of Moab, I'm sorry. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. What she's essentially just saying, go back to your people and get a husband and just live your life. But they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That is a very powerful statement, to say the least. Now, in verse number 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. That means she stopped trying to persuade her. And then it says in verse 19, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, happen doesn't mean it's luck. It's the providence of God here. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant, who was in charge of the reapers, answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother and the head and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maid servant, though I am not like one of your maid servants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth of Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourselves. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, and you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drank, and his heart was cheerful, he went up to the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to this rushing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perform the name of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord makes a woman also, the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and you may prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. So, there we have it. A wonderful little book. And we read the whole book. So, what we're planning to do is to go back and look at in more detail of some of the things that are included in the book. And hopefully that also would be helpful for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege that you have given to us, that we have this, even this little book here, for our consideration, that we might learn from it. We ask in the name of Christ the Savior with thanks. Amen.